Yeah, so thanks for making me for the organizer for this workshop. So I'm going to talk about the impact on large scale structure of dark field forces. So let me start with a story. In my hometown, at the end of the 1500s, Galileo made essentially was studying the falling of two different mass balls of different mass from the Tower of Pisa, and this was like a test, essentially, of whether or not there was an extra forces with respect to gravity acting on one of the two. I'm going to do the same with dark matter. Unfortunately, I cannot make a dark matter ball, so what I do is to make the universe make the balls of dark matter for me. And it also has the bonus of allowing me, essentially, to have not only the 60 meters of the tower, but the full cosmological horizon, essentially. So a very the biggest essentially possible timescale and spatial scale. And I want to test the presence of an extra force acting on dark matter. So following yesterday's discussion, I kind of rearranged like slides because without a Lagrangian, one could have said, well, how can I encode essentially this extra new force? One could say, well, if it acts only on dark matter, probably it will I need to change in my Boltzmann code the relative growth factor, which essentially loosely says to me that matter, dark matter and ordinary matter fall toward each other at different rates. Maybe one could say, well, but not only this should be changed, also the total matter growth rate should change, because this is essentially a fraction of the total matter is also made by dark matter. So in order to precisely address what's more important, one should write a model and study it. So essentially, we considered an implementation of this dark field force by introducing an extra scalar mediator, which is essentially massless. Oops. And the dark matter is scalar, and we have essentially this Yukawa term. The consequence of this Yukawa term is that the scalar field induces a mass, as can be seen below here, for the dark matter, and therefore it will change the equation of state for dark matter. And if one tries to now solve for the field evolution here, as is the scaled field, one sees that this term makes the field roll down, which in turn changes also the dark matter mass. Here, beta is the relative strength compared to gravity, and is what I'm going to bound. Now, remember that essentially this, combined with this evolution, will change the equation of state of dark matter. And this has as a consequence, for example, that since dark matter will redshift slightly different, you have shifts, for example, on the CMB of the CMB peaks, which already tells you that beta must be smaller than percent level. The second effect that we see is that there is an overall growth, a scale-free growth, of the matter power spectrum. And I want...
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Can you go back? I'm so sorry. I'm confused. Do you have a... It looks like you have a classical scalar background density in addition to the dark pole. So you have two components. You have the scalar and the...
Yeah, it turns out that the energy density in this scalar is negligible. But you are right that we have a Lagrangian that combines both.
What's sourcing the SR?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Here there should be a. Here, Kai. Kai is sourcing the S, which is phi rescaled.
Kai is sourcing.
So you do have two.
Yeah, that's the extra mass that.
Yeah, I mean, this becomes an energy density for the dark matter once one matches to the fluid description. And.
It's background density of the dark matter
that's sourcing the field.
Sourcing.
Yeah. Like, if you want the Lagrangian for this
object.
Yeah, precisely. It's a collective effect, precisely. Yeah, if you want the Lagrangian for the particle dark matter, is a free particle with a mass that depends on S.
Okay. And did you have two chi's or?
No, it's one single species here, just chi one, chi two, like.
Just to label the fragment.
Yes.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one flavor, yes. Can I go on?
I'm sorry, this is a standard Yukawa interaction.
Yeah.
Completely stock standard Yukawa interaction with a single fermion and a single scalar.
Yes.
Scalar has zero classical energy, like the scalar part.
The potential is for the scalar phi is its mass, but its mass is smaller than Hubble, so it's eventually negligible, numerically speaking.
How about get to the punchline and then we'll interrogate the model?
Yeah, so sorry. So essentially, what the punchline to me is that one would have said, oh, this violates the equivalence principle, so I should care about only this growth factor. But it turns out that the enhancement of the total matter growth factor is enhanced by this log, because essentially you are integrating this clustering effect over the full cosmological timescale. So to me, this is a lesson that using a new Lagrangian tells you which is the leading effect for galaxy clustering, which is the change in the total matter growth rate rather than in the relative matter growth rate. And essentially, this observation that the change in delta in the growth factor is log enhanced, notice that this log is almost one order of magnitude larger, allows essentially to compute the galaxy power spectrum using the standard Bayes expansion, because otherwise, like, you are breaking some symmetries. Bayes expansion is based on the equivalence principle. However, at the leading order, which again, I want to stress, is just the consequences of considering the full consistent cosmological evolution, you can neglect these extra terms. And essentially, you get this expression for the galaxy clustering rate. And the punchline is that if you do also one loop computation, since we can keep only these effects, the symmetries of the dark fifth fourth model matches the one of lambda CDM, and this allow you to essentially recycle all the tools that you need to use to compute the one loop galaxy power spectrum, which are this code essentially. So here are the results. In gray, we have the CMB results. Here is essentially the parameter I care about, the relative strength. As it can be seen, like for Planck, we get 1%. If I add BAO and Bose full shape, I can go to 5×10⁻³. However, Bose has not much information, but future surveys like Euclid, which have 10 times more the volume, will bring down this bound to Permian level. Essentially. So I guess. Okay, I have some more minutes. And one can do the same for the bispectrum. However, what it turns out that even if there are potentially more modes, there is an extra parameter which enters, another bias, which is very degenerate with beta. And so the bispectrum combined with the power at least the three-level bispectrum doesn't improve the bound on the one-loop on power spectrum. There are also more direct probe of this violation of the equivalence principle. Like you could look for poles in the squeezed limit of the bispectrum. However, this configuration has less known because you are not looking at all possible triangles, but only at squeezed triangles. And also this pole is limited by the minimum mode that you measure. And it turns out that while it's promising, it's still a subleading effect. So I conclude here. Essentially, what I want to stress is that in order to really understand the leading effect on observables like the galaxy power spectrum, you need to consistently account for the full cosmological evolution of your model, which tells you essentially that the symmetries of the problem are the same as in standard lambda CDM, at least for large fractions. And once you understand this, you can compute the improvement on coming from future surveys, and you see that they improve the bounds on beta with respect to previous constraints. So yeah, this is all. Thanks for your attention.
Time for a few questions.
Your new potential should look like something proportional to just the amount of dark matter. Or is it that like that?
This is the evolution of the field S.
Field S. At a level of you, I understand almost nothing.
Could I also not just think about it as are we scaling G Newton for dark matter?
Well, the point is that you don't have only dark matter, so you have also other stuff that
right,
doesn't
right.
interact.
You have a new one over our square, or one over our potential.
Yes. Yes.
Just on the dark matter dynamics.
Yes.
What is tau?
Tau is conformal time.
Sorry, could you just take a simple interpretation for S bar?
So S bar, S, so phi is the field. Like, I want to make it a-dimensionless, just for the clarity. And this is the combination that appears dimensionless that allows you to have this sort of mass interaction.
So
and S bar is the background value.
Okay, always the background. S bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way I should read this plot is that S has some potential that's giving it, which is going up with redshift, so down with time.
Yes.
So effectively, the dark matter mass is decreasing.
Yes. It redshifts faster indeed. Because not only you are diluting it, but you're also changing its mass.
Can you say a couple words about where that evolution of S is coming from? Of S bar, I'm sorry.
You write your. It's a Klein-Gordon, essentially, where there is a source term which is induced by the. Cutting the dark matter.
So,
in this estimate is negligible, and it turns out that if you can compute the potential with a sub H naught mass here, it's negligible. The potential. Well, not really, because it doesn't play any cosmological role. You could tune the mass and do the shooting so that this S field is the dark energy. With this choice of parameter, it doesn't play the role.
But it is a scalar field that has some potential. You only care about the potential of the graphic.
Well, if you want, at this stage, the only relevant piece of the potential is the one induced by the dark matter. It's a sort of tau
core. I think your interpretation is
basically
like cosmology starts with this. It's a quintessence. But I think if you try right now and you force a lot of force, you end up.
Yeah, like,
sorry.
Of a?
Cannibal? I got lost.
Yes, yes, of course, it's perturbative in beta. This beta is very small, so it's still close to cold dark matter. S is a kinetic essentially phase at the beginning
because you can neglect the potential and so it's a full kinetic energy.
Yeah, I think so. At the beginning, yes, then I guess it changes. Like, I have some slides in the backup for how this thing works. Okay,
sorry.
I mean, we can continue.
I'm asking questions.